How do you divide your time between design work and teaching?
Teaching got, well, it got more and more intense recently, I have to say. I really enjoy it. I do work with my students. I don't teach them, I work with them. They have opinions, I've got opinions. We have a discussion going. I'm more the person that makes them aware that they should show up in college and, you know, I initiate the discussion. I've got a fantastic group in London at the moment. I've got a really, really talented group here at the University of Applied Arts.
Say something bad, go on. They're okay, all one.
I think the University of Applied Arts, the course I'm teaching at, is not process led, and it's not, the main subject is not typography, which I'm not used to. I'm used to teach at colleges where typography, or not typography, let's say graphic design, visual communication with an emphasis on typography, is not the main subject. It is called graphic design and advertising, and typography is just a small part of it. I've got problems with that. I'm not used to that. And for me, you know,
Are you changing that?
It's not, in this course, certainly not, no, because it is an advertising course, and the people come out with fantastic ideas, etc. But the journey through the project, I don't think it's there's enough emphasis on that. Process was mentioned, and, you know, journey through the project is the process. Process was mentioned today in the first lecture, in the second, no, in the first little presentation, second lecture, third lecture, and that we had from, you know, all sorts of international positions within the field of typography. And I think it is that methodology that you research as much as it is the subject that you research. So if I've got students during the BA and I've got students during the MA, they research a subject, but they develop a methodology. The subject itself, the knowledge, kind of the facts, etc., you have to be able to exchange them. So, you know, even if somebody wants to become a lawyer or whatever, eventually, you know, he's still developed, or she still developed, a methodology. And I think that's the most interesting part. Of course, then you hopefully find a subject that you're really interested in and want to specialize in, whether it's cultural identity, typeface design, anything like that. But the methodology is key in an education. I said this, I think, today. I don't see myself as preparing people for the industry, but for the real world. We sort of try to imply or to initiate a way of thinking, a passion for discovery and so on. And then I think that this is a fantastic way of finding whatever job you want to find eventually, but a fantastic way of life.
I always find it funny, that expression, the real world. I find that such a weird thing, as if when I was a student, it wasn't the real world. I mean, what's the real world is what, money?
I think it's often mistaken for that. Yes, you're right. The real world, I would say, is you're not sheltered, you're not being given confidence by somebody who will give you a mark. So eventually, if you go out there and have a job, nobody's going to stay behind and say, oh yeah, that's a first, or that's a second, or that's a third, maybe do a bit better the next exam. No.
That would be a nice client. Maybe a bit better.
Absolutely.
It's very nice.
Exactly. But those are the ones that come back all the time, though. It's like 16 times. Maybe tweak it a bit.
You see, no. That's the real world.
Probably.
But... No. So let me put it like very specific. How much time do you spend designing? Getting back to my question, how do you divide the time?
I'm once a week, one day a week, at the college in London, and I probably work, I'd say at least another 5 days a week. Maximum, I find one day a week off. Or I sort of can have a spare day. I flew to Austria last year 33 times, and that's only to Austria, mainly of teaching, sometimes because of design projects. It's still, I mean, both things are always on my mind, though. they're always, you know, it's like you don't want to wear one pair of shoes and simply say, okay, now I'm the teacher, now I do this and this and that. It's sort of, it's always in between. And yeah, I mean, you know, they are overlapping. I wouldn't say, for example, I'm doing a project right now, a publication with my people in, with my students in London, which is called Lead Between the Lines, or Lead Between the Lines, sort of a linguistic pun on, you know, read between the lines, etc. And that is a design project, but it's still within the teaching area that I'm supposed to.
So the boundaries are blurring in a way.
I think they are, and I wouldn't mind if they blurred even more. I mean, it depends on how this project develops, but I think it's, yeah, I mean, the, you know, the academic environment can be very real too.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Is that the real world then? I mean,
yeah.
I forgot, sorry.
No. With a Belgian girlfriend, it's hard to say, are you coming back? But that's still...
London is a tough place to live, and it's a love-hate relationship that probably most foreigners over there go through. I have phases where I'd simply say, oh no, you know, that's it, I'm going back home. But then I realize I just do that because I had some sort of bad experience or so, and I would never want to leave London because of a bad experience. I think I'd prepared to leave it with an experience where I'd say, it was fantastic, you gotta leave things, you know, when they're at their peak, and then do something else. But the funny thing is, I never had an English girlfriend since I'm there, and I never had an Austrian girlfriend since I got there. So it's sort of I don't seem to tie myself in terms of geography.
There's hardly any back in going back.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I came back, it wouldn't be where I grew up. So it'd be Vienna, which is sort of new turf for me as well. It seems to be very good turf, but I would have my issues, I think, with Vienna as well. But I got my issues with London, so, yeah.
You remember your question?
Yeah, but it's about the teaching. What do you hate the most about teaching?
If people don't take it seriously, we're there, or a tutor is there to work with the people. If somebody shows up continuously and says, oh yeah, you know, I've got it in my head, it's like, sorry, you know, like, fuck that. This is not where it's working. It works, put it on paper, we can talk about it. It doesn't work, oh yeah, I'm sort of stuck here, but not being prepared with questions. You know, what is the question? I'm not doing anybody's project. We're talking about an environment where you should be responsible enough to develop your own project. I'm happy, you know, if somebody is stuck, I'm happy to help him out. If I can, you know, we'll pull it, we'll push it, we'll squeeze it, we'll tweak it, we'll do whatever it takes. But if somebody does that with a reluctance to sit down himself in probably solitude again and work it through, then I think it's disrespectful. Some people need that. Some people need a sort of time to understand that studying is not just about being taught, but also engaging with the subject. But some people, you know, never get it. So, yeah, I really do hate that.
Right.
How would you like to be remembered?
When you pass away.
When I passed away.
Yeah. Well, not from your students.
Okay. I think to have moved to... I've never thought of that, actually.
But nobody has. Everybody we ask.
Well, it depends on your... Well, it's age-related.
It's easy. The greatest ever lived. I mean,
there's a certain cynicism in there, but there is a, you know, narcissism, and everything is in there. But of course you want to leave your fingerprint somewhere. And if somebody says, oh, I had a, you know, there was this tutor who actually helped me through this project, and, you know, he did actually this and this and that, and whatever, you know, he's a weirdo, or he's, you know, he did everything with an eye closed or whatever, or he was really great and helped me. I think that's the best thing, because that's communication at its core. I'm not a teacher. I do think that somebody has to practice the subject that he or she teaches, but it's very very real to talk to these students who actually come up with fantastic ideas, and you sit there and you try to work it out. You're always steering it towards a direction, you can't help that, but you try to understand it and you try to learn it, you try to be open. Yeah, but it's always trying, you know. I can be extremely dogmatic, unfortunately, in my work as well.
Sorry, this is a really long line for the tombstone.
I know.
So how would you, let's cut it down to a sentence.
Okay,
there.
Well.
Sound bites, we need sound bites.
And the typeface.
And typeface would be accidents grotesque.
Oh, because you can get a bit more in, right?
No, it's not that economical, but it was originally designed at the foundry Poppelmeier in Vienna, so it's essentially Austrian, was then bought by Berthold, etc., and released, and so on, 1898.
I think you're being nationalistic here, but...
No, anyway. But it's the best typeface ever. I used it before I even knew about all that. No, anyway, I would... Maybe something... I mean, it sounds Dutch, I'm being put on the spot here. Open communicator. Something like an open communicator, an open-minded communicator. We never know what comes out afterwards, but...
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.